الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us and sent us into this world for a fixed and limited period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ. And for you, on this earth, is a temporary abode. For you, on this earth, is an abode. وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. And benefit for a fixed period of time. And during this period that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, He expects something from us. There is a purpose of our life. He has sent us into this world for a fixed period of time, limited period of time, with a purpose. He has an expectation from us. He desires something from us. He has given us a responsibility. And that responsibility is to make Him happy. So our purpose in life is to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purpose in life is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To become Allah's only. Love Allah only, to become His only. تیرا ہو جاؤں اتنی آرزو ہے بس اتنی ہے تمنا دل بدل دے تیرا ہو جاؤں اتنی آرزو ہے I become yours, that is my wish. تیرا ہو جاؤں I become yours, I become your lover, I become your beloved. اتنی آرزو ہے This is my wish. बस इतनी है तमन्ना, दैट इज माई ओनली विश. दिल बदल दे ओ अल्लाह, चेंज माई हार्ट. कोई तुझसे कुछ, कोई कुछ मांगता है, इलाही मैं तुझसे तलबगार तेरा. समवन इज आस्किंग समथिंग फ्रॉम यू, द अदर इज आस्किंग फॉर समथिंग एल्स फ्रॉम यू. द पोएट इज सेइंग, कोई तुझसे कुछ, कोई कुछ मांगता है. समवन इज आस्किंग फॉर समथिंग फ्रॉम यू, द अदर इज आस्किंग फॉर समथिंग एल्स फ्रॉम यू. When they are praying to you, when they are supplicating to you, one is asking for wealth, the other is asking for health. One is asking for a good job, the other is asking for a good wife. Koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangta hai. Various people are asking from you for various material items of this world. And what do I ask from you? कोई तुझसे कुछ, कोई कुछ मांगता है, इलाही मैं तुझसे तलब गार तेरा. And I ask from you yourself, I want you, O Allah. I want you. Rabia Bisriya, rahimahullah ta'ala, a very pious lady, a waliya of her time. She once came out of her house with fire in one hand and water in the other. So, utensil of fire in one hand and utensil of water in the other. And with hijab, she started walking in the streets of Basra. So, people saw her. That Rabia Bisriya rahmatullahi alayha is walking in the streets of Basra with water in one hand and fire in the other. So they said, what are you doing, O Rabia? Where are you going with this fire and with this water? So she said, I looked very carefully at those people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the abideen, those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night, during the days, who stand in qiyam during the night and who engage in siyam during the day. I studied them very carefully and I came to this conclusion that either they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of fear of Jahannam, or they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of desire for Jannah. So the objective is desire for Jannah or fear of Jahannam. So I am going with this fire to burn Jannah, and I am going with this water to extinguish the fire of Jahannam. So Jahannam will not remain, Jannah will not remain. Thereafter the worshippers will worship Allah only for His love. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharubat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharubat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. Wala جلست إلى قوم أحدثهم إلا وأنت حديثي بين جلاسي ولا هممت بشرب الماء من ظمأ إلا رأيت خيالا منك في الكأس. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tira ho jao itni arzu hai. My only desire is that I want to become yours. I want to love you and I want to become your beloved. And I want to love you so much, so much, so much that in my thoughts, in my mind, in my heart, 24 hours it is only you. Only you. In my heart it is only you. In my mind it is only you. And if in my heart and mind only you, then on my tongue will be only you. ذِكْرُكَ فِي فَمِي وَخِيَالُكَ فِي عَيْنِي وَمَثْوَاكَ فِي قَلْبِي فَأَيْنَ تَغِيبُ. A lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are hiding from me. I want to see you but I cannot see you. I love you, I want to see you. I want to see you but I cannot see you. Then he says you are hiding from me. But how can you hide from me? ذِكْرُكَ فِي فَمِي. Because you are always on my tongue. So you are on my tongue, how can you hide from me? وَخِيَالُكَ فِي عَيْنِي. You are always in my mind. وَمَسْوَاكَ فِي قَلْبِي. Your abode is my heart. So you are in my heart, you are in my mind, you are on my tongue, how can you hide from me? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets in the heart and the mind, then whenever a person looks at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not see the creation or the creature, he will see the creation or the creature as the creation of Allah and the creature of Allah. So when he will see the mountain, he will not see the mountain, he will, upon seeing the mountain, remember the creator of the mountain. When he will see the ocean will remind him of the greatness of the creator. When he will look at the stars and the sun and the moon, immediately he will remember the creator. Immediately he will remember the creator. Tera aina alame rangubu hai. Tera aina alame rangubu hai. This whole creation is your mirror. In my mirror I can see my face. This whole creation is your mirror. So wherever I look, I always see you. Tera aina alame rangubu hai. Jidhar dekhta hu, udhar tu hi tu hai. Wherever I see you. Mountain, I see you. Ocean, I see you. Tree, I see you. Human, I see you. Someone's face, someone's eyes, ears, whatever I see, someone's beauty. Everything reminds me of you. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharubat. By Allah. The sun does not rise nor does it set. Except that you are in my heart and mind. That means when the sun rises, you are in my heart and mind. When the sun sets, you are in my heart and mind. And from the time the sun rises until the sun sets, every second, every moment of my life, you are in my heart and mind. Day and night, you are in my heart and mind. وَلَا جَلَسْتُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُحَدِّثُهُمْ. Whenever I sit with people, with friends, to talk with them, إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ حَدِيثِ بَيْنَ جُلَّاسِ. My only topic of discussion is you. I am always talking about you. وَلَا هَمَمْتُ بِشُرُبِ الْمَاءِ مِنْ زَمَيْنِ. Whenever I feel thirsty and I pick up a glass of water to drink, إِلَّا رَأَيْتُ خِيَالًا مِنْكَ فِي الْكَاسِ. And when I look in the glass, I can see you. So whatever I see, wherever I see, I can only see you. Only you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to please Him, to make Him happy, to acquire His love and to become His beloved. We acquire His pleasure. We make Him happy. We make Him happy, we begin to love Him, and eventually we become beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after creating us for this purpose, has been very, very kind to us. And He has continually sent Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam to show us the path to fulfill this purpose of our creation. So how can we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we become the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how can we become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to show us that path, that method, sent approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Look at His kindness. Look at His mercy. Look at His compassion. He did not say that I have sent you into the world to make me happy, to love me, to become my beloved. Now you find out how to make me happy. No. He sent Nabi after Nabi, Nabi after Nabi, Nabi after Nabi, approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Look at His kindness. Look at His compassion. Look at His benevolence. And every Nabi came and he showed this path. How to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. How to love Him and how to become His beloved. And the bullet points are only two. Iman and taqwa. So in order to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, we only have to do two things, Iman and taqwa. In order to become the ashik of Allah, the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we only have to do two things, Iman and taqwa. In order to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we only have to do two things, Iman and taqwa. So Iman and taqwa is the key. Iman and taqwa. So if we fulfill these two responsibilities, belief and thereafter taqwa, if we acquire taqwa, if we bring taqwa in our lives, then we will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will become ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will become the mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once this happens, once we become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or once we become the ushak, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us everything. Because if we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we become His beloved, then Allah becomes ours. And when Allah is ours, everything is ours. All our problems are solved. All our problems are solved. Tum huye hasil, to sab hasil huye. Tum huye hasil, to sab hasil huye. If I have acquired you, then I have acquired everything. Tum nahi hasil, to kuch hasil nahi. And if I am unable to acquire you, then I have acquired nothing. Tum huye hasil, to sab hasil huye. If I have acquired you, then I have acquired everything. Peace of mind, tranquility of the heart, husn-e khatima, the grave will become a garden from the gardens of paradise. On the day of Qiyamah, shade under His throne, easy reckoning, book of deeds in our right hand, easy pul sirat, and entry into Jannah without having to go in Jahannam. Tum huye hasil. If I have acquired you, to sab hasil huye. I have acquired everything. Tum nahi hasil, to kuch hasil nahi. And if I have not acquired you, then I have acquired nothing. Despite being wealthy, despite being influential, despite being handsome, despite being healthy, despite having all the luxuries of this world, if I am unable to acquire you, if I am unable to acquire your attention, if I am unable to acquire your love, I have nothing. Nothing. Nothing in this world. Peace of mind, tranquility of the heart, there is no guarantee. It may remain for 5 months, it may remain for 5 weeks, it may remain for 5 days, it may remain for 5 years, 50 years, but there is no guarantee. Husn-e khatima, not guaranteed. Comfort in the grave, not guaranteed. Easy reckoning, not guaranteed. Pul sirat, not guaranteed. Safety from the fire of Jahannam, not guaranteed. Tum nahi hasil, to kuch hasil nahi. Tum huye hasil, to sab hasil huye. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Tu ek mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Agar ek tu nahi mera, if you one is not mine, to koi shay nahi meri, nothing is mine. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. If you one is not mine, then nothing is mine. To ek mera, to sab mera. If you are mine, then everything is mine. Falak mera, zameen meri. The heavens are mine and the earth is mine. This is the only solution for the Muslim ummah. Iman and taqwa. Without any hesitation, I am saying this. This is the only solution for the Muslim ummah. Whether they be in Egypt, they be in Syria, Tunisia, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Russia, India, Pakistan, England, Europe, America. This is the only solution for the Muslim ummah. Iman and taqwa. The current situation that the Muslim ummah finds itself in is because
there is no iman, there is no taqwa. Iman is weak. If iman is there, taqwa is not there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not guaranteed everything on the basis of iman only. The guarantee is with iman and taqwa. Taqwa is necessary for success. Not only iman. Even the safety of iman is guaranteed upon taqwa. So taqwa is very important. Even the safety of iman is guaranteed on taqwa. Without taqwa, iman remains in danger all the time. And for taqwa, the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has used various names. Islam is another name for taqwa, because iman is belief and Islam is practice. So Islam is another name for taqwa. A'mal saliha, good deeds, another name for taqwa. Istiqamah, another name for taqwa. Wilayah, another name for taqwa. Special friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sidq, truthfulness, another name for taqwa. Various names, but they all refer to the same thing. Iman and taqwa. This is the only solution. Only solution. Taqwa is the only solution for any problem that a Muslim faces. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a problem, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with other advices would emphasize taqwa. Taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one who adopts taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for him. If he is unhealthy and he adopts taqwa, Allah will create an exit for him. Exit. Exit to come out of that illness. If a person is suffering anxiety, he adopts taqwa, Allah will create an exit for him to come out of that anxiety. If a person is suffering from poverty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for him if he adopts taqwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, inna awlan nasi bi al-muttaqoon. From the people, the closest to me are those with taqwa. Inna awlan nasi bi. From the people, the closest to me are those with taqwa. Haythu kanu, wherever they may be. I am in Madina Munawwara, and there is a person in Madina Munawwara who has iman but no taqwa. And there is another person in China, in Asia, in Europe, who has iman and taqwa. Then this person who is in China, Asia, Europe, he is more closer to me than this person who lives in Madina Munawwara. In this world also, the closest people to me are those with taqwa, wherever they may be. Woman, kanu, and whoever they may be. A person is a Quraishi, he is from my tribe, from Banu Quraysh, or he is a Hashimi from Banu Hashim, and he has iman but no taqwa. And there is another person who is an Englishman or Indian or Chinese or African. He has iman and taqwa. He is more closer to me than this Hashimi or this Qurayshi. Inna awlan nasi bi, closest from the people to me are those people who have taqwa in this world and also in the hereafter. On the day of Qiyamah, from the people, the closest to me will be those people who have taqwa. After the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to call out the first adhan in the history of Islam. First adhan in the history of Islam is being called out by Bilal al-Habashi radiyallahu anhu. A Negro, a black in color, whose family lineage was unknown. And until a few years ago, he enjoyed no respect whatsoever. An adhan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Al mu'azzinuna yawm al qiyamati atwaluhum a'naqan. The mu'azzineen will have long necks on the day of qiyamah. Long necks means that they will be honored greatly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be given high seats on the day of qiyamah. So their necks will be more visible than the others because they will be on high seats. Allah will honor them greatly, mu'azzinun. So calling out the azan was an honorable thing. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was also appointed as a mu'azzin during the time of one of the khulafa in another locality. So calling out azan was not seen during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it is seen today, that the lowest of the low will call out the azan. Now who calls out azan in Africa and in India? The cleaner of the masjid calls out the azan. When I visited Africa and India also, I told them that don't give the responsibility of the azan to the cleaner of the masjid. Separate his definition of words. That your responsibility is to clean the masjid, your responsibility is to clean the wuzukhana, your responsibility is to clean the toilet, your responsibility is to keep the outside of the masjid clean. End of it, bas, finish. Azan should not be part of his work. Yes, if he wants to call out azan, give him the opportunity also. But the lowest of the low is given the responsibility to call out the azan. And people don't call him khadim or the caretaker, they call him muaddin. Lowest paid person. Lowest paid person. And the person of the lowest category in the village is called muaddin. He is given the title of muaddin. It is for this reason, those people who feel that we are noble and we are rich and we are influential and we are knowledgeable, they never give azan. They never call out azan. Because the psyche and psychology is that who calls out the azan, the lowest of the low. Bilal radiallahu anhu, a great sahabi. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, a great, they used to call out azan. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when the first salat, the time for first salat dawned after the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam started looking for a person. And everybody, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, everybody was keen to call out the azan. And he could not see Bilal, so he said, where is Bilal? Where is Bilal? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I am here. He said, climb the roof of Kaaba and call the azan. Greatest honor after the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama is being granted to a Habashi, to a Negro who is black in color, who has no family lineage. Why? Why did this happen? So he started calling out the azan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who belonged to Quraysh, very high family lineage, cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, third cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, and also the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umme Habiba radiallahu anha, his daughter was married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is sat in the Haram Sharif with a few other Qurayshis. And one of them said that could Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not find a better person than this black crow? Because that was the mentality of the Arabs before Islam. That was the mentality. The time of ignorance. That white is more superior to the black. Red is more superior to the black. Black has no place in society. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world with equality. إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ أَحْمَرَ وَلَا أَسْوَدٍ إِلَّا أَن تَفْضُلَهُ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ أَحْمَرَ وَلَا أَسْوَدٍ. If you are red, red in complexion, white in complexion, that does not make you best. Or if you are black in complexion, that doesn't make you best either. White, black, no, color doesn't make you good or better than another. illa an tahzulahu bi taqwallahi azza wa jalla. Yes, if you have the virtue of taqwa, then you become good. See, if you have a white person and a black person, this white person has taqwa and the black person does not have taqwa, then the white is superior to the black. And if this black person has taqwa and the white does not have taqwa, then this black is superior to the white. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your faces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at the colors of your bodies. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah looks at your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your deeds. Deeds, whether they are in accordance to the sunnah or not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the sincerity of your heart. The goodness of your heart. So one said, could Muhammad not find someone better than this black crow? He gave him great honor. Abu Bakr was there, Umar was there, Usman was there, Ali was there, Quraishis were there, Ansar were there, great people from Medina Munawwara. The second one said, my father is very fortunate and lucky that he died before this day. He did not live to see this dark day. The third one said, I also wish to say something, but I am afraid that if I say something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform Muhammad. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he sat there with his friends. One said, could Muhammad not find a better person than this black crow? The other one said, my father is very lucky, very fortunate that he did not live to see this dark day. And the third one said, I also wish to make a comment. There is something passing through my heart and mind as well. But I am afraid that Allah will inform Muhammad of our conversation. And that is exactly what happened. As soon as the azan was completed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam recited this verse, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unsa. We have created all of you from one male and one female. Black is the brother of the white and the white is the brother of the black. Because everybody's mom is Hawa and everybody's dad is Adam. Everybody's father is Adam. Everybody's mother is Hawa. You all belong to the same family. وَجِعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. And then we divided you amongst tribes and families. Why? So that you may despise each other. No, لِتَعَارَفُ. So that you are able to recognize each other. If everybody had the same color, if everybody had the same look, if everybody had the same name, it would have been difficult to recognize each other. So sometimes you say, where is Ahmad? Which Ahmad are you talking about? So you say, Ahmad Patel. Which Ahmad are you talking about? Ahmad Dhorat. Which Ahmad you are talking about? Ahmad Egyptian. Ahmad Pakistani. Ahmad African. These are so that you are able to recognize each other. Not so that you despise each other. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most honored amongst you is the one with most taqwa. That is why Bilal is standing there on the roof of the Kaaba today. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from Mi'raj, he said, oh Bilal, what is it that you do that is very much liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, oh messenger of Allah, why are you asking me this question? He said, when I entered Jannah during the night of Mi'raj, I heard your footsteps in front of me. You were walking in front of me. So what is it that you do that Allah likes so much? And just a few years ago, Bilal had no value, no place in community. But the transformation of the heart, dil badal de, oh Allah, change my heart. Dil badal de, oh Allah, change my heart. Dil badal de, oh Allah, change my heart. Transform my heart. Oh Allah, remove all the razail, the evil traits of my heart. And substitute it with fadail, the good traits of the heart. Oh Allah, remove this arrogance, remove this pride. Remove this stinginess. Remove this hatred from my heart. Remove this ego from my heart. Change my heart. The poet is saying over and over again, Dil badal de, change my heart, change my heart, change my heart. And our young Hafiz recited Surah Al-Shams قد أفلح من زكاها. That person became successful who purified his heart, who removed the evil traits from his heart and who substituted with fadail, good traits of the heart. So much difference that Umar radiallahu anhu could not see any difference between Abu Bakr and Bilal. He used to say, Abu Bakr in Sayyiduna. Abu Bakr is our master. Abu Bakr in Sayyiduna. Abu Bakr is our master. Ataka Sayyidana. He emancipated our master Bilal. Abu Bakr is also our master and Bilal is also our master. Everything was based on taqwa, not on family lineages. These are the problems in our masajid also. He belongs to this family, this person belongs to this family. Who should be on the musalla? Who is this on the musalla? Which group does he belong to? Iman and taqwa, only two bases. Only two criterion. Iman and taqwa. Inna Allah ta'ala yarfa bi hadha al-kitabi aqwaman wa yad'u bihi akharin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates people through this book. Those people who acquire iman thereafter taqwa and follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are elevated. And those people who leave aside the kitabullah, leave aside the sunnati rasul, and they do not acquire taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demotes them. Allah destroys their honor. A sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Umar radiyallahu anhu during the time of his khilafah. And Umar radiyallahu anhu said that, who have you appointed as the governor of Makkah Mukarrama? So he said, Ibn Abi Abza. Umar radiyallahu anhu said, Ibn Abi Abza? He was surprised. Ibn Abi Abza, why? Because he was a freed slave. At one time he was a slave. So he said, who have you appointed in Makkah Mukarrama as the governor? He said, Ibn Abi Abza. So Umar radiallahu anhu was surprised, said, Ibn Abi Abza? He said, yes, he was the most knowledgeable from among the people who were there. So I have appointed him as the governor. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Inna Allah ta'ala yarfau bihadil kitabi aqwama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates people through this book, through the book of Allah. Look, Ibn Abi Abza, who was a slave a few months ago, a few years ago, today he is the governor of Makkah Mukarrama. Everything was based on iman and taqwa, iman and taqwa, iman and taqwa, iman and taqwa. Taqwa is gone out of our lives. Now the criterion have changed, the elements of pride have changed. And for as long as that remains, the problems will remain. Problems on international level, problem on national level, problem on political level, problems on family level, problems in madaris and masajid level, problems in organizations, institutes, problems will remain until the ummah adorns itself with the nur of taqwa. Abu Bakr Sayyiduna, Ataka Sayyiduna, Bilalun Sayyiduna, Atakahu Sayyiduna. Umar radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, he is sitting in a room, very large room with so many Sahaba and the Tabi'een radiallahu anhum around him. And he is busy doing something, reading something, writing something, and he suddenly feels a movement in the crowd. So he looks up. As to why the movement is taking place, and he saw Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu arriving into that gathering. So there was a little bit of movement that Abu Sufyan has come. And who is Abu Sufyan? Allahu Akbar. A Quraishi, third cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after Abu Jahl, leader of the Quraysh, he led the Quraysh against the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud, in the Battle of Khandaq. Person of such high nobility. And then the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, at one time he was the enemy of Islam, but now he has accepted Islam. So Umar radiallahu anhu, Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi quotes this narration. Umar radiallahu anhu, he looked up and he saw that, oh, Abu Sufyan is here. the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Sufyan is looking to the right, to the left, to look for a place, but he is unable to find place. Umar, after seeing Abu Sufyan, he continues with his work, and Abu Sufyan sits down where he is. After a while, again, Umar feels a movement in the gathering. Movement. But this time the movement is more active than the first time. When Umar looks up, he sees that there is a small pathway between him and the person who has come. Because the people sitting there, the criteria was taqwa. First, it was Abu Sufyan. Family lineage was very high. Now the second person who has arrived is Bilal. Bilal al-Habashi. But the movement is more this time. And there is a small path from Umar to there, and Umar said, "Welcome Bilal. Welcome, come forward Bilal. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum." Taqwa. Taqwa is a means of honor in this world, means of honor at the time of death, means of honor in the grave, means of honor on the day of Qiyamah, and means of honor in Jannah forever and ever. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "In awla an-nasibi, from the people the most closest to me are the people with taqwa. Aina kanu, wherever they may be, haythu kanu, wherever they may be, waman kanu, and whoever they may be." Whoever they may be. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, Khalifa of his time, he performed the Tawaf of Kaaba, and he asked the people around him that, "Is there an alim, a mufti whom I can turn to because I have a query?" So they said, "Yes, there is a very great mufti in Makkah Mukarrama. His name is Atta ibn Abi Rabah. Once a slave, black in color, negro. But he will not come here. You will have to go to him." Atta ibn Abi Rabah, a negro, black in color. And now we are not talking about the times of the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, he said, "He will not come here. If you summon him, he will not come here." Why? Because the people of Allah, those who have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not fear anybody. Rijalul Akhirah, people of Akhirah. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, from the people of Akhirah. Harun al-Rashid, the great Khalif of the time. Great Khalif, and very pious as well, Harun al-Rashid. He went to Medina Munawwara, and from his palace, he sent a messenger to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, and he said, "I have come to Medina Munawwara, and I will be residing in Medina Munawwara for a few weeks, a few months. And it is my desire that I acquire the ilm of hadith from you. So can you please allocate time for me and let me know when you will be coming to my palace?" Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala replied by writing a very short sentence, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, al-ilm la yati yuta ilayhi." Ilm does not go anywhere. You have to go to ilm. Al-ilm la yati. Ilm will not come. Yuta ilayhi, you will have to go to ilm. So Harun al-Rashid came into the masjid at the time when Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala used to engage in imparting the durus of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sat on his place, in his elevated place, and he used to, before beginning the dars of hadith, used to look at the crowd and see whether everybody is respectfully or not. So he looked around. He looked around. Nowadays also, the trend in the masajid is that people will fill the walls first and then they will start sitting here. And the young ones will take the seats at the wall before the older ones, before those who really need to recline at the wall. Ilm does not enter the hearts like this, my friend. Without adab, without respect and reverence for ilm, a person will never acquire the barakat and the nur of ilm. مَنْ لَا أَدَبَ لَهُ لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ. One who has no adab will be deprived of ilm. Ba adab ba nasib. The one who has adab will acquire. Be adab be nasib. One who has no adab will not acquire. There are so many fascinating stories which the young boys of today may even refuse to accept in regard to adab, how much adab our elders had. Shaykhul Hind, Mawlana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. Shaykhul Hadith of Darulum Deobandi, the well-known freedom fighter, and he is the Shaykhul Hadith of Darulum Deobandi. He used to go and visit his Shaykh every weekend in Gango, which was 30 miles from Deobandi. 30 miles from Deobandi. He had so much adab for his Shaykh, that when he used to go from Deoband to Gango, he would go on foot. He would not go by any vehicle. He would say, it is against the adab of my Shaykh. When he used to return, he would return by vehicle. But when he used to go, he would go walking. It is adab that I walk. Nowadays, there is no adab. And because there is no adab, we are unable to benefit from the Deeni gathering. We come into Deeni gatherings only to listen to the Deeni gatherings, listen to that talk. In fact, enjoy the talk. Enjoy the talk. Nowadays, when we invite speakers, the first thing we look at is his eloquence, the style of his talking. We don't look at Iman, Taqwa. No, that is not the criteria. Who will pull the most crowd? That is the aim of those people who invite the speakers. Who will pull the most crowd? After the program, we want people to say, oh, it was a great success. Great success in what sense? Very big crowd. So very big crowd is success. What change the program brings into the lives of the people, nobody wants to. Big crowd. So Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, he throws a glance at the gathering and he sees that every student is sitting respectfully except for one who is leaning against the pillar of Masjid-e-Nabwi, and he looks very carefully as to who he is, and he realizes it is Amirul Mu'mineen, Harun al-Rashid. So Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala realizes that I have managed to bring him out of his home up to Masjid-e-Nabwi, but he is not sitting respectfully, and if he sits like this, he will not benefit from the noor of the hadith. So he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, in front of all the students, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Inna min ijlali Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ijlal al-ilm. From the reverence for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is revering the ilm that he has brought. This is also part of reverence for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we revere the ilm that he has brought. So if the dars of the Quran is being imparted, dars of hadith is being imparted, then we need to sit respectfully, because the words are those which were conveyed to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to revere that ilm. And we revere the ulama because they possess the ilm that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We revere the madaris, we revere the books because they contain the ilm that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our ulama, our pious predecessors, they would not touch any kitab. Any kitab. It is permissible to touch books other than the Quran without wudu, but they would not touch any kitab without wudu. They would not touch any kitab without wudu. Why? Because adab, this contains ilm which was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allama Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala, one night he was studying, a great faqih, Shamsul A'imma, Imam Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he suffered from diarrhea. And he had to relieve himself 17 times during the night. 17 times during the night. But he had so much love for ilm, that despite this diarrhea and despite dehydration and despite weakness, he continued with the talab of ilm. And every time he had to relieve himself, he performed wudu. 17 times he performed wudu. He did not touch the books without wudu. 17 times. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great alim and the great muhaddith of the Indian subcontinent, and the leading student of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, he himself told his students, in order to give them a lesson and to guide them, he said, from the time I have begun understanding ilm and the ulama, never in my life have I stretched my leg or my foot towards the hafiz of the Quran. Never mind ulama, hafiz of the Quran, I have never stretched my foot towards the hafiz of the Quran. My young friend, if we adopt adab, the more adab, Qari Tayyib Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says, that adab is a fundamental item as far as deen is concerned. We just brush it aside. Why? Because adab is not farz, adab is not wajib, adab is not sunnah muakkada. So we just brush it, it's not necessary. Qari Tayyib Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says, adab is a fundamental item as far as deen is concerned. The more a person exercises adab, the more stronger his deen will become. And the less a person exercises adab, the more weaker his deen will become. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that we are more in need of adab than ilm. Because if we have ilm but no adab, ilm will not benefit. If we have adab and less ilm, then through the barakah of adab, this little ilm will benefit us. So Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, from respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from reverence for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to revere the ilm that he has brought. So please, come forward and sit with the gathering. And in those days, alhamdulillah, people used to accept haq. There was no ego, there was no pride, there was no arrogance. So Imam, upon Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi's instruction, Harun al-Rashid joined the gathering. So Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, he said, it is okay, we will go to Atta ibn Abi Rabah. Now Atta ibn Abi Rabah, as I said, Negro, Abyssinian, black in color, a few years ago he was a slave. Allah freed him. He was sitting in his place and people were sat in line, in queue. And they were asking him questions. And Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan was brought right at the front. He said, wait, let me deal with those people who have come before you. A person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not fear anybody. Wait, let me deal with those people who have come before you. He dealt with everybody who had come before Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, and thereafter, he turned to Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan and he said, what can I do for you? So he asked the question, the answer was given, and Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, with lot of respect, walked away. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. The son became very angry, son of Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, and he said that he has humiliated you, O father. You should call him in the court and punish him. So he said, no, no, my son. Because of taqwa and the ilm that he has, he deserves more respect than he has. So taqwa, my friend. Taqwa. Through taqwa, we will solve all our problems of this world and the hereafter. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, acquire taqwa so that you may become successful in this world and the hereafter. So I need to conclude now because I have only 5 minutes remaining. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world to acquire His pleasure, to become His ushyak. May Allah make us His ushyak, those who love Him. And may Allah grant us the higher position than that. May we become the mahbub of Allah. May we become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, we need iman and taqwa. Iman and taqwa. Iman, alhamdulillah, we have. I do not wish to go into the detail of iman. Iman we have, alhamdulillah. It is taqwa that we lack. And when we mention the word taqwa, then shaitan
put this thought in our minds, minds of everybody, that no, taqwa is not for me. Taqwa is for the very high people of the ummah. The a few who can be counted on fingers. I said, taqwa, yes, taqwa is good, but no. It's not my cup of tea. Taqwa, no. It's very difficult. This is because of the lack of understanding of the term taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa has many grades, many levels. The first level of taqwa is that a person abstains from kufr, shirk and nifaq. So iman, that is the first level. So alhamdulillah, we have that first level. Thereafter, second level. A person abstains from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second level. A person abstains from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leaving fard displeases Allah, so he does not leave fard. Leaving wajib displeases Allah, so he does not leave wajib. Leaving sunnah muakkada displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he does not leave sunnah muakkada. Engaging in haram activity displeases Allah, so he abstains from haram. Engaging in makruh tahrimi displeases Allah, so he abstains from makruh tahrimi. But if a person is able to do these five things, carry out fard, faraid, wajibat, sunan muakkada, abstain from haram and makruh tahrimiya, he is a muttaqi. And if he fails, if he slips, then to do tawbah is also part of taqwa. Because if we fail to carry out a fard, Allah will become unhappy. If we fail to carry out a wajib, Allah will become unhappy. If we fail to carry out a sunnah muakkada, Allah will become unhappy. If we fail to abstain from haram, Allah will become unhappy. If we fail to abstain from makruh tahrimi, Allah will become unhappy. So if Allah becomes unhappy, what do? Then we make Allah happy for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and suddenly we sleep and he becomes unhappy. What do we then? Allah says, if you make a mistake, then use the tipex of tawbah. Tipex. Use tawbah. Through tawbah, Allah becomes happy. And sometimes a person may displease Allah for 1 year. 1 year, drug consumption. 1 year, no salat. 10 years, drug consumption, no salat. 50 years, no iman, no amal. 80 years, no iman, no amal. And how long does it take to do tawbah? A few seconds. So he says, oh Allah, I repent. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. No kufr, no shirk from today, no nifaq from today. And from today, I will do everything that pleases you. Stay away from everything that displeases you. And he does not get the opportunity to engage in taqwa, and he departs from this world. He will go straight in Jannah. Tawbah is such a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we do not use this gift of tawbah. So iman and taqwa. Taqwa is to abstain from everything that displeases Allah. And if we do displease Allah, because we are weak, we make a firm resolution now, and tomorrow we might fail. Tonight we may slip. Even if we slip 100,000 times in a day, which is not possible, but even if we slip 1,000,000 times in a day, every time we slip, do what you are doing now. What are you doing now at the moment? You are making a firm resolution that from today we will not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not miss a fard, we will not miss a wajib, we will not miss sunnah muakkada, we will not engage in haram, we will not engage in makruh tahrimi. And there tonight at 12 o'clock you find yourself on the internet watching filthy things, on the internet watching a film, and as soon as the film is over, the filth is over, you have regret that, oh, I have made a firm resolution tonight between Maghrib and Isha, and here I am just after a few hours. Don't worry. Again, do the same thing that you're doing now. Oh Allah, I'm making a firm resolution, I will not do this again. If this cycle continues, then the duration will increase. Now you're breaking your tawbah after 3 hours, 4 hours. It will be 5 hours, then 7 hours, then 10 hours, then 24 hours. The duration will increase until a time will come when there will be a fortified wall between yourself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Iman and taqwa, and part of taqwa is tawbah. And how can taqwa become easy? By remembering the hereafter. وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْتُمْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ.
Each person should worry about the hereafter. What have I done for the hereafter? So if we remember when our nafs encourages us to do evil, then if we remember what will happen to me at the time of death, what will happen to me in the grave, what will happen to me on the day of Qiyamah, what will happen to me at the time of reckoning, what will happen to me if I am thrown in the fire of Jahannam, then it will become easy to control the nafs. Very easy to control the nafs. So if we make a firm resolution that Alhamdulillah, first of all, we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us the ni'mat of Iman. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. It was very easy for us to ask the reverse. How difficult it is for them to accept Islam. So many thoughts, so many things come in front of them. And then after accepting Islam, how many tests and trials they have to pass through. Alhamdulillah, we were fortunate that without any effort on our part, we were born in Muslim homes. With lot of comfort, we are believers. Alhamdulillah. Now the only thing we need to do is adopt taqwa. And taqwa is very simple. It is upon this level of taqwa. There is another level after that. There is another level. But it is upon this level that Allah has promised everything. So you don't have to go beyond. It is on this level that we abstain from everything that displeases Allah. And if we slip, then part of taqwa is to repent and say, "Oh Allah, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I will not do this again. Regret, remorse." And in order to make abstaining from sins easy, go to the graveyard and look at the people sleeping in the graveyard, that, "Oh, one day I'm also going to come here. There will be nobody except me in the grave. What will happen to me at the time of death? What will happen to me on the day of Qiyamah?" Worry, fikr, concern for the hereafter, remembering the death, remembering the hereafter will make resisting the nafs easy. When resisting the nafs becomes easy, taqwa will become easy. And if we do sleep, then tawbah will strengthen our stamina to adopt taqwa. And as soon as we have that, we have iman. Iman will be secured. All guarantees from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there. Iman, taqwa, success in this world, success at the time of death, success in the grave, success on the day of Qiyamah, success at the time of reckoning, success on Pul Sirat, and without having to go in the fire of Jahannam, we will be in Jannah forever and ever. And first the Malaika will say, "Salamun alaykum, tibtum fadkhuluha khalideen." And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Assalamu alaykum, ya ahl al Jannah." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to carry out these instructions. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His proximity, His nearness, His love, His recognition. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with the nur of His love, nur of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the nur of taqwa, nur of ilm, nur of ma'rifat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in this world with His love, and take us from this world with His love, and resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with His ushaq, with those who love Him, and grant us entry into Jannah with His ushaq, the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Salihin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.